Hello and welcome back to another episode of the NHL podcast. I'm Rahil alongside my co-host Safir. Safir, it's been way too long, man. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty well, man. I'm so excited to be back here with you on our NHL podcast. Man, there has been so much that's been going on over the past month or so. So, you know, I'm really excited to be back. And, but yeah, things have been going great. You know, I've been super involved with some of these world championship tournaments, in addition to other stuff. And I know you've been involved with LG. So really excited to talk about a lot of things today.
Yeah, I know. We've been busy, man. I mean, I think since our last episode, I went to New York for the FaZe Esports Night with the Islanders, which was awesome, by the way. Shout out. Got the hat on and everything, too. And then, obviously, we had, like, the holiday season and everything. Then I got COVID.
Oh, no.
Literally, like, a week ago. And, like, I was literally just like, oh, man, like, this is so, like, I didn't get it in 2020. I didn't get it in 2021. I didn't get it in 2022. I had to get it in 2023. Like, I had to be one of those, like, weaklings. You know what I mean?
It seems like it's one of those things that's just looming in the background. It's like inevitable at this point.
Honestly, it is inevitable. And you know what? The one thing that's inevitable we're going to talk about, Safir, is the All-Star Game event. I mean, dude, I'm shocked at some of these results. Honestly, it was so fun to like just watch and keep a part of. But like, why don't you give us a rundown? Because you were actually involved with this. So tell us about the format and kind of how everything went down and all this kind of stuff. And then we'll get a little bit more into the surprising, a little bit surprising results.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So the NHL, they reformatted the entire tournament this year, right? So This year, there's just so many opportunities to qualify for the World Championships, formerly known as the Gaming World Championships, as you know. Mm-hmm. And so the All-Star Open qualifiers is just one of those opportunities where if you qualify for your console, you get to pick the club that you want to represent in this year's World Championships. And you essentially get to skip a bunch of rounds all the way to like spring. So it is a huge benefit. So the way it worked is that every console, so old gen consoles, Xbox One and PS4, and new gen consoles, PS5 and Xbox Series S and X, ran qualifiers. There's 25 games, and only the top 16 on each console actually qualified to the bracket stage. Rahil, do you know that is very tough because we talk about placing top 20 in Hut Champs and like going 18-2 and 19-1. It's very hard. So these qualifiers, you know, all the top players, there's a lot of top players that also didn't make it, by the way. So
yeah.
All around, you know, it really brought out the competitive side of the players. And to your point, there were some surprises.
Yeah, it was really interesting, I found, because you had these 25 games to kind of get yourself qualified. And then everyone was bracketed. And excuse me, we all kind of, you know, everyone took a look at a bracket and everyone picked their favorites. Like, all right, you know, so-and-so is going to win out of here. So-and-so is going to win out of the PlayStation side. And as you kind of led into, like, the people who actually ended up qualifying. And for those of you who don't know, I believe the qualifiers for each one get to go to the All-Star Game coming up in February. Yes. And then they'll be competing on a LAN, correct?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. February 2nd, I believe.
Yeah. So early February, which is exciting nonetheless. But like the way you, like I was looking at some of these brackets and I'm just like, all right, this guy's gonna win. And I think this is a great exciting point into the season of NHL esports for this year, is because if every tournament's gonna have results like this, I cannot wait for NHL WC.
Yeah, absolutely. And to put it into some perspective, our defending North American champion Regs did not make it. Our runner-up Gren also did not make it.
Dude,
that says a lot.
The second I saw who beat Regs, and we're going to get into that a little bit here, guys, I was absolutely speechless.
You know what I find most interesting is that talking to some other top players, everybody believed that the bracket or the qualifiers for Xbox Series S and X would be the biggest free-for-all, you know, because of how competitive it is. So while people said, yes, Polks is the favorite, a lot of people also said, you know, it's hard to tell who's going to win. But it turns out that Polks did win and the other brackets ended up being a free-for-all. So I think this is a great opportunity to talk about these players who are starting to now make a name for themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think we should start with PS5. Now, just as a little refresher, last year, Aves placed top three on PS5, a tremendous accomplishment. Mm-hmm. As you know, Regs ended up winning, Gren ended up being the runner-up in the GWC, and Geimer also placed top four. The person who won this bracket for the PS5 is a guy by the name of Prestara, who we have never heard of before.
Yep.
And when, he took out all three of them.
The second, like I saw who won, I was just like, with all due respect, I mean, this guy's apparently obviously really good, but like, I think the general community and those casuals who kind of keep in touch with esports stuff, they were like, who? Like, what? Like, what happened in that bracket sphere? I don't even know, man. Talk us about it.
Yeah, it was incredible. And you know, sometimes when a player makes a name for themselves, they kind of come out of nowhere. It's their first year playing NHL, but apparently Prestara has been playing HUD for a little while now. Last year he went by the name Sploits or something like that, and then this year in the bracket stage he takes out Aves. I believe he took out Mivian as well. As we know, Mivian is a long time very accomplished player, yeah. And then he takes out Geimer in three, I believe. He takes out Gren. Now, there was some drama involved there because apparently he was playing on Wi-Fi. It's not against the rules. It's just your internet connection. Yeah. But, you know, that might affect the connectivity there. And then that wasn't the only surprising result on Xbox One. Yeah, Duncan Deli taking out Rex. What do we know about Duncan?
Duncan, man, I believe last year he wasn't eligible to play. Correct, because you know some stuff and everything. So this year he's eligible. I mean, you go up against Regs, and it's him and Regs in the, I believe, was it the finals or was it a little before the finals?
No, it was the finals. It was a one goal game and everything.
Yeah, and it was super close. And I think the thing that kind of surprised me most, I mean, obviously the reigning NHL 22 GWC champion loses to Duncan, which is a surprise. I want to say Dunkin' Donuts all the time. I don't know why. I don't know if he runs into this, but like I always see Dunkin' Donuts. I'm just like, yeah, Dunkin' Donuts. But the one thing that surprised me, and I watched a good amount of these games actually, is Regs was always trying to like get it in the middle. And Duncan did a really, really good job of just stopping that from happening. And then from there, I mean, he just ran down the wings with like McDavid, Gardner, and all these other like speedster guys. And I mean, that was kind of the thing of the whole series is Duncan was able to contain Regs. And if you're able to contain Regs, like you got a really good shot at beating him. And that's what happened here. I was surprised by it, Sophia.
No, myself included. Yeah, to your point, Regs, his puck control is absolutely incredible. You know, he holds the puck on the outside so well. He just racks up the TOA. And like you said, in order to beat Regs, you have to cover the middle. You know, you have to be extremely patient because what he really wants you to do is to chase him, right? Once you chase him, or even if you're out of position ever so slightly, he's going to bury it. And he always finds his way. And, you know, there hasn't been really anybody except Gren who has, you know, really stood up to Regs. Yeah. Some of Pogues, of course, but Duncan really brought that extra level out of himself. You know, I think Regs dominated the time on attack. I think he would like doubled him like 16 minutes to 8. And like you said, it was all just counter game for Duncan. And, you know, he would take the lead, skill zone, sit middle, let Regs kind of do his thing on the outside. He had some big saves going his way, but I mean, hey, that's hockey.
Yeah, it was honestly a surprise because even in December when I went down to the Islanders esports night, they had Regs and Ecky go against each other. And in the room, a lot of the conversation was like, Regs hasn't played much NHL 23. Is he going to be able to adapt to the new gameplay and the new game style? Because like, it is a drastic change from 22, the way players are playing. Like the big meta now is you just go behind the net with your big boys and just kind of work the puck around and stuff like that. But I remember watching that series against Ecky, and Regs was just able, and this is the thing that makes Regs so good, he's just able to find a way, and once he gets his game going, it's really hard to stop. I was able to, it's funny enough, we went out to a bar one night, and I was with Regs, and I was just sitting there picking his brain a little bit, and like, the way he analyzes the game is like I'm breaking into the offensive zone, and I'm like, I see a guy on the right who's open, I'm gonna pass to him. Regs thinks like, I'm going to pass to that guy, which is going to open up the guy in the middle, which I could pass here, which I could pass back to that guy. And I'm like, dude, you're thinking like four moves ahead. And for Duncan to beat someone like that, I think is a true testament to like, you know, Duncan's good. He knows what he's doing. And if he's able to contain someone defensively with all that time on attack, the other person's going to have, I mean, I know we're early into the season, Sophia, but like, bro, I don't know, man, like Duncan may make some moves here.
Dude, he is making big moves. Last year, he was considered one of the favorites on Next Gen, and then he wasn't able to play. And yeah, so with Duncan, he is such a passionate guy with so much personality.
We all know about that.
Oh yeah, he is definitely, you know, he doesn't hold back. He's right there, and he's very competitive. And so I'm thinking from an entertainment perspective, I think this LAN is going to bring a lot of value. And so I'm really excited about that. And one more point about Regs, you know, people saying that, oh, it's maybe he hasn't played the game enough, which honestly is probably true. Yeah. And from experience observing Regs over the years, this guy reaches his absolute, he's already so good at the game, which is incredible, but he reaches his best in the spring months. And that's when GWC really picks up. So we'll kind of see what happens there.
Absolutely.
Now, Rahil, on the PS4 side, you had a player, I believe he's from Quebec. His name is Bluen. And so I know Bluen because I used to play on PlayStation. And he is one of those guys that was always so good in Hot Champs, but never really showed up at a tournament. So it's nice to see him qualify. What do you think it means to see somebody like that who's been involved for so many years, hasn't been able to get it done, to finally get it done?
You know what, shout out to him, dude. The way he played was well and stuff. And I mean, excuse me, like, you show up and you get stuff done. And like, I know he's had the history of, like, you know, you're round, but you're not that, like, you can't make that push almost. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you just need a couple bounces and stuff and it works out your way. And you're able to, like, show everyone, like, hey, like, I'm actually pretty good. Like, I personally didn't really, you know, I'd heard this name before, but I didn't really know about him. But he plays on Ducks. I think he plays or played on Ducks Gaming, I believe, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's very involved in Sixes. Yeah,
he was a finalist in the IIHF tournament in 2020 as well for Canada. I mean, this kid's good, man. Like, he has a bit of a resume and stuff, too. And I think on the PS4 side, what was interesting is the rumors that were going on about this. Did you hear about these rumors, Sophia?
We might be thinking the same thing. Let's see.
I think so. So there were rumors about like second tagging and someone playing for him and these kind of things. And it was just rumors that were totally not true, because they were like, oh, it's this guy playing for him. And I'm not going to talk about names and stuff, but that guy was literally like, picture of me at the Rangers game right now. Like, it's not me, man. And I think the one thing for, is it Bluen you say? I think it's Bluen is how you say
Yeah.
It. Yeah. So the one thing I would say to him is, like, I would take that as a compliment. If you ever watch this podcast, man, like, the fact that people think someone else is playing for you is a testament to how good you are and how much you shock people. Bro, use that as motivation, man. Like, you're going to a LAN right now. Hopefully, I guess we should say, because he might not have his passport.
Or whatever. Yeah, I heard about that too. Yeah. Yeah, it's impossible. Actually, There's actually a couple of qualifiers who are still trying to finalize their documents. So we'll see. I think if there's one guy who might not be able to make it, it is Bluen, based on my discussions with other people. And if Bluen doesn't make it, then uninstall is in. I mean, just as good, you know. So it is tough, though, because Bluen, you know, he worked really hard for this spot. And I hope he figures it out, but who knows, really.
I absolutely hope so, too, man. Like, it's such an awesome story, especially when people think you're someone else and you're like, nah, it was me. I won that. I deserve that. The one thing I will say, anyone watching this podcast who is going to try and compete in the NHL 23 World Championship, get your goddamn passport renewed, please. If you're American, you just need your driver's license. I think it's whatever. If you're Canadian, for the love of God, please get your passport done, man. That is the most painful thing. Just go pay for the expedite thing. Like, I don't care, whatever it is, man. You guys need to get to these events. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be at the All-Star Game playing a LAN. And you don't have your passport renewed. Like, come on, Saphir.
Everybody just has to get their documents ready, because you never know. Like you said, it is so rare to be in this position. So
definitely. You know all about that with your passport in December, eh?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm still going through the process. But
here's the perfect example, guys. You need to get your passports done on time.
Eh? Hopefully we get that resolved soon, but we'll see.
Absolutely. But I guess we'll just end off on Series X, Saphir. I mean, I think this is the one bracket where, like, again, people said it was a free-for-all, but I think this is the one result that's not as big of a surprise. Obviously, Polk's making it. What are your thoughts on how he handled the entire thing and just going forward? Do you think he's the only one of the four who's going to be playing with LAN experience? Do you think that makes a difference as well?
It definitely will make a difference. Well, I think it makes a difference from a mental approach anyway. And I feel like for a lot of players who play in their first LAN tournament, such as Prestera or Bluen, you know, that could be a lot of pressure. But at the same time, it could be one of those things where they don't feel the pressure because Poles is expected to win, right? So it really just depends. I think with Poles' experience, he's going to be fine. But to talk about the bracket itself, you know, it's so interesting. Rahil. He had to beat out a couple of his Caps gaming teammates, which is really interesting. He had to, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he did play Bouge, their centerman, and he did play Desi, their right defenseman, both one goal games, just 4-3. And then he went on to play Boily, who actually I lost to in the semifinals in game three. So and actually, Pokes really dominated that series, which honestly surprised me a little bit because Boily has been a breakout player for me this year. I'm not even joking, Rahil. I think Boily is a top five player this year. That kid is incredible. I think he's, you know, he has been playing so amazing. I don't know what happened against Pokes. He might have been just mentally drained or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just an interesting bracket all around.
Top five, man. We're coming back with the podcast. It's a fierce drop in the fire. I love it. I'm going to actually pick your brain on something right now because you kind of talked about it, the top five thing. I'm going to ask you this. Is Reich still number one after this? Like, just as of right now, is he still number one?
That is such a great question.
I hate you for putting me on the spot.
I think if we're talking about, like, who is most prepared from a gameplay perspective, I have a feeling it's still Pogues, just because Pogues has been playing the game the most, and that's just from a preparedness factor. But if we're talking about overall with like mental strength and like strategy,
like GWC favorite right now, or WC, I guess, because it's not GWC anymore.
Oh, if we're talking about like all around favorites, and we're thinking ahead of, you know, who's gonna end up doing this, I'm still picking Regs just because until you beat him, it's so hard to pick somebody else.
Yeah, I think the other thing with Regs too, just to touch on that, is you mentioned like he gets better later in the season. Like as you know, the esports scene starts to come in more, and you know, like in March where all these club championships are going to be, like that's where he's really going to start to heat up. And I think you can't, like, that's when you can say, okay, yeah, okay, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's also interesting, Reg said that this is the hardest year to win the world championships, which actually makes a lot of sense, right? With how like competitive this year is. But I just wanted to touch up on Boily a little bit more here, Rahil. The guy finished 25-0 in the qualifiers. I mean, that is very difficult. That's crazy. The only guy who went 25-0, and you know, there's this thing in Hot Champs and in the community, people talking about how players, or half the player base in Quebec, they're playing on like 1 or 2 MS. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great feeling, but this is peer-to-peer connection, and Boily really came out strong. So just somebody to watch out for as we move forward.
I think that's a great, like, hey, keep your eye on this kid pick. I mean, dude, the kid's made it, and I mean, like, I could just see him. Like you said, it's just, man, he can keep on doing it and keep on playing the way he's playing. Man, keep an eye out on this kid, man. Absolutely. But now I'm going to switch on to someone else here. I'm going to talk about you a little bit because obviously, I mean, with this podcast, you're the experience of all these tournaments because you are actually participating in these. For those of you who don't know, Saphir, you lost in the semifinals, I believe, right? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You lost, and that was the Series X bracket, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. So you lost there. So I want to touch upon your experience and the pros and cons of how, like, you felt this qualifier was. What did you think was great? What did you think, like, okay, can you please not do this again next year? And then just kind of talking about, like, overall, like, from a competitive player, how you felt about the whole tournament.
Yeah, no, great questions there, Rahil. And now to give you a rundown of my run, it started out pretty bad, actually. I knew that to make it, you needed at least 21 wins with high amount of points, which is difficult in of itself. I started my run 7-2, and then I was like, oh boy, haven't even played 10 games yet. I already have 2 losses. But then I went on a heater, went 15-1 to close out my run. So I did actually end up getting the 5th seed. Had a couple of really sweaty competitive matches the first and second round, and then played Boily, as you mentioned, in game 3, lost 7-5. So it was so close. I was disappointed in the loss, but at the same time, I was pretty surprised at how well I did because, I don't know, my mental approach is not really that competitive this year. So it was nice. But in terms of pros and cons, well, pro is obviously just the fact that, you know, brings out your competitive side. But the one area that I found to be a little bit frustrating was the search times.
I think that wasn't just you. I think a lot of people were talking about how long it took to find these games and stuff.
Yeah, man. So I think I had like 3 to 4 games left for Sunday, and I think I searched about 3 hours just to get those games done, and it shouldn't really take more than an hour and a half max. Now I don't think it's a population issue. I think it's the range of skill points from you and the opponent of which you can match. So I'm hoping to expand that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tricky too, because like, again, you understand why the skill point thing is there, because you don't want someone who's like 3-0 to face someone who's 18-0, right? Because then that's a bit of a gap. But at the same time, like, you can't be sitting there for 4 hours waiting for someone to come along and stuff. And I know it's funny you mentioned that, because I know with other games like FIFA, there's like a what they do, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think every 5 games, if you play FUT Champs, which is the equivalent of HUT Champs, you get a ranking, and it's just based off those 5 games, and then your next 5 games are based off that ranking. So if you go 4-1, you're gonna be going up a lot of people who are in that similar 4-1 or maybe 3-2, but had that higher skill point in those 3-2. And then, you know, if you go 0-5, then it'll switch up a little bit. So again, something like that could be a solution, I think. But again, you got to tweak it, especially in these kind of tournaments, because there's so much on the line in these kind of things. And you can't have people waiting for 3 hours for 4 games, but you also can't have like me going against you. Like, no, yeah. Like maybe if I went like 15-0, sure. But like, I'd be like 0-7, and then it'd be like, hey, here's Sophia, good luck.
that's actually so such a good strategy there, you know, like take it in 5-game blocks. You know, if you're 4-0, then you're gonna get another guy who's 4-0 in that 5-game block. That actually could actually resolve a lot of these issues, you know, because for some players they just had like insanely competitive game after game, and then other people had a bit of easier runs, but nonetheless still had those long search times. So that could actually balance things out a little bit. But
I think it'd be interesting. And like, I know the one concern people would be like is like, oh well, people are gonna throw games to get easier matchups. But the thing is, you can't throw games in these kind of tournaments. No, if you need at least 21 wins, you can't go like, oh, I'm gonna go 3-2 so I get an easier 5 games. Like, you only have two less games to lose now. Two, there might be someone else who does the same thing, and then you're running into someone just as good. So it kind of balances it out a little bit.
Yeah, man. And you know what? It's actually 21 wins with high points. If I had to put a percentage on it, I think about 60% of players with 21 wins didn't make it. But obviously the other ones, it is very competitive. So yeah, honestly, something to think about. And that way you kind of have an idea as to how many biggies you're going to have, as opposed to, you know, saying it's unfair that somebody had more or less than you. But
yeah,
brings out that balance.
Yeah, I know one thing along with this tournament that was a bit of an issue, I believe, is I think Polgs mentioned something about Tampa, and there was something being involved with like a Tampa series that was going on. You want to touch upon that a little bit? Because I saw it and I was like, there's no way they messed this up.
Yeah, no, exactly. Unfortunately, what happened is that the Tampa Bay tournament was running during the same there was an hour apart from the start time, but Tampa Bay was running at the same time as the bracket stage of the All-Star qualifying tournament. So what ended up happening is myself and pretty much 95% of the players, there's a couple who actually managed to play both, but for the majority of us, we could not play in the Tampa Bay tournament. And obviously if it's an esports tournament, I mean, I get the whole idea of like having as many tournaments as possible, but if it's the same day, even separating them like 3 hours at least gives, you know, everybody a chance to play that tournament as well. And I would like to think that in these tournaments, you want to have the best players competing. And it's not to say it's going to be the same names all the time. I mean, we talk about Blue and we talk about Prestera, you know. Yep. But just like, so hopefully something that they work on and fix. But
It's interesting because, like, I know when it comes to things like this is going to be a random example, like the PGA golf tournament, like not everyone plays in every tournament, which is fair. But at the same time, like, there's a gap in between every tournament. Like, there's enough time for players to like reset too. And that's another thing that like is going to be difficult. Like, imagine playing in Tampa and like, you know, they're tough games. You're sweating it out a little bit, and then you get an hour to breathe, and then you have to play more sweaty games as well. Like, I don't know if maybe, you know, they need to coordinate this a little better and have, you know, maybe a 2-3 hour gap, kind of like you said. And we'll touch about it a little later, because I've had issues with some timings on some other things, too, which we'll get into. Not these tournaments. I'm not good enough for the tournaments, but we'll talk about that a little later. But I think we should finally touch upon, before we move to anything else, the stadium series, Sophia. Obviously, we have some showdowns and stuff going on. I'll let you talk about that. But then also, there were issues with the stadium series too, man. Let's talk about it.
Honestly, well, with the stadium series, Yeah, so it's the same sort of format with the ASG. It's actually currently happening right now. Not to boost my ego, but I am 14-1, so a better start for me this week. Actually, and you know what? Just one more comment about Tampa Bay. The way that it's being handled this week is actually perfect because we're at the stage of the stadium series where the qualifiers are still going on. So you can play whenever. Yeah. And the second qualifying bracket stage of the Tampa Bay tournament is also taking place today. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of pick and choose when you want to play your stadium series games. Yeah. But yeah, the one issue that we ran into with this week is the top 16 players who qualify for the All-Star qualifiers, they got their collectible for stadium series. And as you know, you can play in this one too. Mm-hmm. And I think even for some players outside of top 16, what ended up happening is that the game, you had a pop-up on your game screen saying that you are not eligible to compete in the stadium series. And it caused immense panic, Rahil. For myself included.
just imagine being, okay, like everyone who's listening or watching right now, imagine being a professional NHL player. You get your collectible for like, okay, I'm going into this tournament now. I did good in the All-Star game, but now I'm going to make a run in Stadium Series and I'm going to push myself. And then the game's like, oh, no, you can't do that. I don't understand how that happens. Has anyone even said what happened?
No, honestly, I'm assuming there was a coding issue of some sort. Maybe they brought in something from last year's GLBC tournament that kind of messed up whatever they were intending to do, which is to let players play. Unfortunately, everybody found out pretty late because the qualifiers started at midnight. And, you know, all the teenagers are ready with their controllers. You know, they got their G Fuel on the side and then the clock hits 12 and it says you're not eligible to play.
I'm so glad I'm not a competitive player because I would have lost my mind if that happened.
That's like your parents telling you it's not time for video games. Go to bed.
Literally, like, mom, this is a tournament. I can win five. I don't care. Go to bed. Like, you're not allowed to do anything. That is, oh my gosh. Man. I believe it's been resolved now, so we're all good there. But I mean, EA, just please make sure that doesn't happen again for the sake of all those guys who are competing. Don't give anyone else any more heart attacks, please.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Very well said. And I think, Rahil, this is a perfect time to now transition into some of your experiences playing in a Sixers tournament, what we call the LGNHL, CHL, AHL, those kind of leagues. And I have some experience there, too. And, you know, give me a rundown. I think this was your first time playing in a few years. And how did everything go? How did you do in the season? I think you did pretty well and your team did pretty well.
We did really good. First off, it was an awesome experience. I'll get a bit more into it, but I really do think that there is an opportunity for everyone and to just kind of play, which is awesome, I think. I was on the Mississauga Steelheads. Shout out to my owner, Murph. I played some pickup games because I was like, no one's going to know who I am, really. And one of the guys is in the AHL. He's like, I'll tell my buddy to like throw a bid on you. So he threw a bid on me. I think I went like 17-4-1 in the regular season. We made the playoffs as the fifth seed in the OHL. We went on a crazy run. We ended up losing in, I believe it was six in the Memorial Cup finals, to Chicoutimi. Shout out to them. They were a super good team. I think they were undefeated going into the series with us and we handed them their first two losses. And we had only lost like three or four games all playoffs too. So it was a really tough matchup. The line I was on personally, especially when it comes to the playoffs, depends on your owner, but our owner really liked to have like, okay, you five play. We had lines basically. Our line went 7-1 in the playoffs. Like we absolutely shredded it. All our forwards were amazing. Juju, Kurt, and Dangs are awesome up front. Spooky was my D partner, and we had a French guy by the name of Bassinet. His in-game name is Tipoulet, which is awesome. But yeah, it was a great experience. I had a lot of fun. Overall, like I'm gonna play again next year just because it was a great learning experience for me to get back into competitive. And funny enough, my owner was like, I think like halfway through the season, he's like, can you resign? And I'm like, why? And he's like, dude, if you went to bidding, you'd be, so how bidding works in LG is like you start at minimum bid, which is 750K for, against the salary cap. And then it goes up by 250,000 every time someone bids. He's like, you're going to go for 3 mil. He's like, I want you. And my cat's going to make an appearance. He's like, you're going to go for 3 mil. I want you to stay at 750 because like, it's a steal for us. And then obviously we went on the insane playoff run. So I told them like, you know what, if you can get majority of my line back, I'll resign because you know, playing with the same guys and stuff. The one thing I was happy with that, with at least my team, was there was opportunity for TCs to step up. Now, if you don't know what TCs is, for those of you who are listening, basically it's like if you don't get bidded on in the CHL, which is like the lower of the three leagues, you get automatically assigned to a team and you're like on their training camp roster. We had situations where we had to have emergency call-ups and guys came up and they played great. And our guy was like, hey, like our owner's like, I know about you now. Like, you know, you're good and stuff. We had one, I think it was game two of the finals in the Mem Cup. Our goalie was getting apparently booted. Like someone was DDoSing him or something. We had to get an ECU goalie, Saphir, and we won like 4-3.
Wow.
And everyone was like, dude, you are the best. Like, thank you. You're a great goalie. And now that goalie's put himself on the map as like, I was TC, but I just won game two of the Mem Cup finals. Like, now people are going to know that. People are going to probably bid on him. And there's an opportunity there for that kind of stuff. I loved it, man. I had so much fun. It was a great group, man.
I have very fond memories too of LGN. You know, I mean, shout out to Brody, Tris, and everybody who volunteers their time to help run the league, including the managers and the owners. It is such a well-established and structured league, and it really gives you that sort of real life sort of feel to it. I mean, I always joke a lot about your salary and stuff like that, and some people go like, "Oh yeah, I'm signed on a $7 million deal as if it's real money."
I'm talking to Murph, my owner. I'm like, bro, I'm at 750. I need a pay raise. Bump me to a mil at least so I can brag a little bit. You know, it doesn't even matter. It's just for salary cap. But I'm like, I want to be at least a million. Come on, bro.
You know, it's so funny because these salaries go up against the salary cap as is in real life. And like you said, yeah, players get a little bit of an ego and they get happy when they get signed on such a high salary. But it hurts your team. You know, you don't have a lot of room to work with. But that's great.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I was like, you know what? I'll resign for if you think I'm going to go for $3 million, I'll resign for a mil because we like our team went to the finals. Like we have a good team, we have a good core, and now he has $2 million extra to go bid on another defenseman, another goalie, or whatever else he may need to kind of help push the team a little bit further. Because like, man, no sleeves. He was making so much fun of me. I was talking about like, yeah, I'm in the Mem Cup finals. He's like, yeah, I played 1 year and I won it and I retired. So you better win it. And then I don't win it. And he's just like roasting me in his stream. He's just like, I went in there and like said something about his PC. And he's like, talk to me when you win a Mem Cup. And I'm like, dude, like, shut up. You hurt my feelings, man. What the hell?
Dude, but that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. You can finish your thought.
I was going to say, I'm determined, like, I'm going to take a step up next year. Like I want to win that Mem Cup. Now I got that like losers like taste in my blood. Sorry about my cat in the background. I got that. Like, I feel like I just lost the Stanley Cup finals. I'm like, man, I need to go back to back, man. I need to win it this time.
Dude, I have two comments. It's so funny. So, No Sleeves was on my LG team with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Was he actually?
Yeah, he was our right defenseman. I was left defenseman. We were actually a D pair. It's so funny because I was also AGM at that time. Actually, no. I became AGM the season after. But what happened is that, so we would play it and Sleeves would call out a lot of the plays. But then our time lasted so short because 2 weeks later he was traded to the worst team in the league. I think it was Calgary at the time. So it was just I don't know. I thought it was like a hilarious experience all around, but it was a privilege, I will say, having No Sleeves on my team. It was great viewership for us. Every time people go live on Twitch, and you know, people would be there. And then another this is a hilarious experience, but obviously to make it to the NHL, you actually have to go through the CHL season. Like you have to play at least one season there. And I was picked up by the Flint Firebirds, and I was actually a TC. And I played left wing. I was a TC. I told my owner, I was like, do you know who I am?
Saphir with the ego check. Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? I'm like, why am I TC? Do you know who I am? He's like, no, who are you? I'm like, I'm Saphir Snipes Cold. He's like, okay. I'm like, okay.
That's exactly what I thought was going to happen. Like, I mentioned in the Discord, I'm like, yeah, guys, I have a podcast with the Hockey News about esports. They're like, okay. I was like,
Man. You know what? It's okay, though. So I was a TC that season. I ended up getting drafted third by the Leafs. So it all worked out in the end. You know, I salvaged my ego, but that was humbling, though.
Yeah, I can totally get that. I had a bit of a humbling experience, too, I'll talk about. So I can't get drafted. because I played LG before. I was gonna ask about
that.
And because I played LG before, I got drafted before, and then I retired, and now I've came back. So I have a status on my a status or something, so I can't get drafted. So the only way I can go up is through bidding, which is a possibility. But then, like, I thought of how good our CHL team was, and I was like, you know what? Like, that was my first season. I'm going to stick around a little bit more, you know, get a little bit better at the game, and then maybe I'll make the jump up and stuff. But it's funny, you got the no sleeves flex. I got the Gren flex.
Oh, dude.
I think season 28, I played with Gren on, I think it was the Peterborough Pete's, actually, funny enough. So I don't know 100% for sure, but I know, like, Gren and I talked about it, and we're like, we do believe at some point we played together. We don't know when, but at some point we did. But it was so much fun playing in LG. For those of you guys who haven't tried it out, I'd recommend at minimum sign up for the website at elitegaming.com. You can sign up. You don't even have to register or anything. In the shout box, there's people always looking for games. And you can just hop in there and you can just say, hey, I'm a right D available. And, like, you know, people message you, say, hey, we want to play. Just pick up games and stuff like that. That's how I got someone to actually say, hey, I'm going to tell some CHL guys to bid on you. And that's how I ended up, you know, playing – I'm gonna flex a little bit here. I was second in defensive scoring in the playoffs.
Wow, so, let's go.
That's why Murph was like, I'm so glad I got told to bid on you because you're 750k and you're like second in defensive scoring. So I definitely recommend it. If you play ESHL, give it a try. The one problem I have with it, and this was a bit of a unanimous problem for everyone in this position. So how LG works is it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday for the regular season. It's four games a day now, and you have to be available, I think, for at least 8 of them or 10 of them, and then you play for a week. So how my owner was like, all right, you're always playing, like, Sunday you're playing all four games, or, like, you know, Monday you're playing all four games, but I'd play one day a week, which was great. You get into the playoffs, Sunday, Monday was game 1-2. Or Sunday was game 1-2, Monday was game 3-4, Tuesday was 5-6-7, which I think is totally fine. It's okay. Yeah. It works out. When we advanced to the Mem Cup, like, how the Mem Cup worked was basically we advanced from the OHL. There was a team from the WHL and a team from the Q. Now, because there's crossplay, how it worked is the lower of the two seeds played each other in a best of 5. The winner of that moved on to play the top seed in a best of 7. The winner of that is going to play the PlayStation side. So Shikunami is not going to be playing the PlayStation side. So for the lower one, we played in the lower one. We played Sunday, Monday was game 1-2. Or Sunday was game 1-2. Monday was game 3-4-5. And then Tuesday was the finals, game 1-2. Wednesday was the finals, game 3-4. Thursday was the finals, game 5-6-7. Which I understand maybe to work out the scheduling and everything, they need to split that up because it was exhausting. We thankfully we swept the other series, but then we got to the finals and, like, I played Monday game 3 and we won. And now I'm like, okay, well, we have to play Tuesday or Wednesday now. Like, great. Like, my whole week was LG, and I, you know, I think that's a little bit too much. It was, in reality, it was only 3 games, but you have to be available and ready. And, like, there has to be all this structure because it's like, all right, we won the series. We're playing games 1 and 2, but I need to see how games 1 and 2 go to see if I'm playing in 3 and 4 or just 3 or just 4. So what ended up happening is we split the series, the first 2 games. So our owner was like, you're playing 3 and 4 because you're our top line. So now I had to prepare to play all of Tuesday instead of just, like, playing my one day a week or just my one little set spot. And I think LG, you need to spread that out a little bit. And I know that may push out bidding a week or something like that, but the CHL finals is the last of the finals anyways.
Yeah.
So you can have a little bit of a break, I think. And maybe there's ways around it, but it wasn't just that Shikunami was frustrated because they're like, man, we have to play this entire week. Like, it's a headache, man.
No, it is. And, like, I'm pretty sure you all have your other life obligations as well. And to have your entire week booked off for sixes is definitely difficult. If I'm being quite honest with you, I think that is one of the bigger issues when it comes to the structure of LG and sort of availability. Because, yeah, to your point, I mean, it's not that one specific night that you get on and play. I mean, when I was AGM with the Leafs, I was able to pick and choose. Like, I would give myself 3 games on Sunday and that would be it, you know, call it. I played 3 seasons in total. But then I had other seasons where I would play, like, 1 on Sunday, 1 on Monday, and then maybe 1 on Tuesday. And that got really frustrating, especially when you're, like I said, busy with like school or work. Or
and you have like all of us have lives and stuff, and it is a bit of a commitment, I think, and that's where people have a problem. And I don't know where the solution is, because like you know, if you get a good owner like mine would just be like, you're playing one day all four games. So I knew like, okay, from like 8 to like 11 or 10:30, that was my thing, and then the rest of the week I can do whatever. But when it comes to the playoffs, again, playoffs are a little bit more trickier, and I think that's okay, because you know you're in the playoffs and you're like, I kind of have to see how these games go to know like whether they're going to put in the lower lines or the top lines and all that kind of stuff, right. So I mean, it makes sense, but I do think, you know, commitment and stuff like that is hard. And I think if LG makes certain aspects of it easier, and I'm not saying like, you know, reduce the games or whatever, but like if that finals part was different, like if it was spread out over a week, I would have no issues with my season. That's the only issue I had with my season. I didn't mind like saying like, okay, my entire Tuesday's booked off. I had an issue with like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I had to be prepared to play depending on what the previous night was. That was a little bit of a frustration, but I'm pretty happy with how it went, Sophia.
Yeah, no, you did amazing. And honestly, Caps Gaming and LGT, if you guys are paying attention, Rahil is your next guy. Just say.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I've run into a few moments where like again, I'm sitting there and I'm like, maybe I could make an esports team, but then I guarantee you the second I play, like I'm going to get absolutely like smacked, like just absolutely manhangled. It's funny. I was second in playoff scoring, but I'm always the type of defender. I play right D. I was always the type of the guy that the second the opponent gets the puck in their end, I'm always like, it was like we had our three forwards. Our other D man was here. I was down here. Like I was always last man back, but I still was getting assists. So I don't know. Maybe I'm like this like hidden defensive defenseman, like pass playmaker or something. I don't know, man. But I'm open for tryouts.
Yeah, I think you have some hidden talent there that you're also currently on this journey of exploring and seeing really where you can go with this, but you never know.
Oh man, my girlfriend's gonna kill me if I get it on a professional esports team. She's like, now you're playing in every goddamn tournament. What the hell? I was already fed up with LG.
Well, you know, Rahil, I'm curious actually. Are you gonna play LG, AHL, or NHL? Like, is that something you're thinking about?
So
at all.
It's funny, especially with my owner talking about re-signing, I was considering it a lot because, like, I do think, like, with my stats, and, like, we'll go look at my stats first a bit while I talk here, but I did have a very strong feeling that I could get an AHL bid just based off of the season I had. But I think because I'm, like, it's my first season, I don't want to, like, make that jump too quickly, if you know what I mean, because I can't get drafted. So if we look here, I was 17-4-3 with 28 points in 25 games, 26 games, which is pretty good for a defenseman.
That's very
good. Then 7-1 in the playoffs with 12 points in, I think, 8 games, which is really good. But the thing I was worried about was a couple things. One, you know, you jump to the AHL, and the AHL is a different level. It's a lot more tougher. When I played my pickup games, I did nothing. Like, I was great defensively. I did nothing offensively because everyone else was so damn good. But that was enough to get me like considered for the CHL. And people were like, yo, you're actually pretty good. I'll tell my CHL buddies to look at you and stuff. But I think there is a skill gap. And I was being very careful with how I approached it. And part of me was just like, you have a really good CHL team here. Like my owner wants me to resign. Mm-hmm. We ended up getting, I think, two of our wingers and the goalie for sure on my line is back. I think the center will be back. I think the only piece we're going to miss is my D partner, who, shout out Spooky, he's going to go in the AHL. Dude's an absolute beast. We were so he got traded to our team mid-season. Me and him were undefeated together in the regular season and the playoffs, except for that one game.
Wow.
Literally, like, it was insane. Like, we just kept winning. We're just like, man, like, we're pretty good together. But based off the fact that he was able to re-sign some of these other guys and like my team was able to make it to the finals, that kind of convinced me to stay one more year in the CHL and just kind of like get better, create, you know, art my defensive game a little more, you know, get better at it. And then from there, I think I'm going to make that push and, like, you know, maybe try and bump the AHL. I mean, NHL, man, like, I don't know. I don't think I'm good enough. I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm being too, like, hard on myself. But I watch some of these guys, like, play, and I'm just like, man, like, your defenseman is playing like our winger, and I can't even play like that. Like, I'm too rough. But I'd consider it, I think, Saphir.
Yeah, You know, I really like your approach. It's kind of like a scaffolding approach. You know, yeah. You start in the CHL, you might want to stay there for an extra season, continue to develop your skills, really see how well you can do in that tier. I mean, you played it in one season and then kind of, you know, scaffolding that. So I think it's a really smart approach and, you know, you're in development. We'll see what happens.
I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe 3 months from now, I'll be in the NHL. I'll be playing with some of the biggies and stuff. I doubt it. I will see though. I mean, who knows?
I will say though, you are saving yourself from some weird, embarrassing moments. Dude, the amount of times playing as left defenseman in the NHL and getting coned by these highly skilled mechanically players, you know, LT spinning all around me and it's embarrassing at times. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just staring into my camera.
I don't want to flex, but like I think if I can craft my game better, I could be a shutdown defenseman in the NHL. Like if I was able to reach the level needed to be in the NHL, like the way I play, like I'm just looking here, like in 24 games in the regular season, I had 83 takeaways as a defenseman.
That's really good.
Like I and that's why a lot of the like my owner was talking about. He's like, you're just really good at like just knowing when to poke, when to like not poke, and just kind of like I love letting the guy just like skate in and like give him space, but like I close the gap between me and the goalie just to kind of like he has room, but he can't do anything because I'm still in the way. I don't chase, I don't poke check and get these tripping penalties. So I mean, now I'm getting cocky. See what you made me do now? I'm starting to like ego myself.
So we're not only putting the esports organizations on notice, we're also putting EA on notice because now they just have to give you a hot card with shutdown as your X Factor ability.
I need shutdown, quick pick, and like I know this is the worst synergy ever or the worst X Factor ever. I need tape to tape, man, or sender or something because I literally, dude, all my points are assists. I just pass the puck up and my boys are great. And I'm just like, oh, man, it's really fun, though. I'm loving LG. And for those of you guys who would are interested, I definitely recommend trying it out.
Yeah, no, totally. And I'm looking interested now too. I might reconsider joining maybe like a summer league once I'm done school, you know, but we'll see.
If I'm still in the CHL, let's get you on a what do you play? Do you play righty?
Lefty.
Bro, we're having an NHL D pair. I'm gonna get Murph to get you on a min bid. Bro, you and I are gonna destroy it, man. I already call it a here.
Oh, I guess only time will tell, man.
Absolutely.
Well, Rahil, I think you know, this has been a great episode being back here talking with you about the World Championships and a little bit about LG. You know, lots of things to look forward to. I know we have a lot of content ideas coming up too. So to the viewers, thank you for watching. And with that, on behalf of Rahil, myself, and the Hockey News, we'll see you guys next time.
Take care, guys. Thank you for watching.